grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us on this day we observe, the day of Epiphany, is taken from the second chapter of Matthew, where again we hear of the Magi, or wise men. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is God's word. It happened with very little fanfare. This past Friday was the day of Epiphany. What's that? It's a day on the liturgical calendar of the Western Christian Church on which you are invited to remember the journey of the wise men to worship Jesus. And that word, Epiphany, means that something has appeared. Something new has been realized. That something is, of course, Jesus, God with us. There's some time that passes between our observance of Christmas and Epiphany, 12 days to be precise, and that's intentional. You see, the clues in Matthew's Gospel give the impression that the wise men arrived sometime after the events of Jesus' birth. One of these clues is the fact that Matthew tells us the wise men found the Holy Family in a house. So it seems like a little time had passed, rooms had opened up, they upgraded from the stable. If you've ever wondered why the church waits to mention the mysterious Magi, that's why. A little time passes between shepherds and wise men. But have you ever wondered who these wise men really were, where they came from besides the East? What was it about the star that caused them to undertake such an expensive journey? Matthew keeps the details to a minimum, and where Scripture is silent, people love to fill in the blanks. For example, there's the old Epiphany carol, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Dr. Paul Meyer, a historian, points out in his book, The First Christmas, that in just the opening line of that song, three assumptions are made that are worthy of close examination. And the first is the number three. We three kings, the three wise men, it's simply assumed that three magi came to worship the newly born king of Israel. But Dr. Meyer writes, a close reading of Matthew 2 reveals that a number is never mentioned in connection with the wise men. There is a group of three, and that's the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And from that, the conclusion was drawn, three gifts, three givers. Church tradition strongly suggests there were three wise men, but Dr. Meyer's point is that the text never says. It could be two, it could be 12, we're just not told. Then, Dr. Meyer says, there's the kings of the title, which may say a little bit too much. Why is that? Well, historical research tells us Magi were not kings per se, but certainly were top advisors to ancient heads of state. Their name really says a lot, Magi. They were magistrates. They also practiced magic. They were part college professor, part doctor, part astrologer, part fortune teller. Today they might be called futurists. But whatever they were not chief executives, but they were cabinet members. Then Dr. Meyer continues, there's the Orient of the title, which is probably going a little too far east, given what we know about the Magi of Babylon and Persia, which correspond to Iraq and Iran in the modern day. Located east of Israel, the histories of those cultures provide us with most of what we know about Magi. And in the case of Babylon, in particular, there would have been direct interaction between Israelites and Magi during the exiles described in the Old Testament, which may explain why Magi were interested in this particular star in the first place. Dr. Meyer presents all that information not to debunk Epiphany, but to say that the Magi are extremely mysterious and very fascinating figures, but there is no mystery as to why they made the journey. It was to worship the child. It was to present their gifts to the king. God had met them right where they were at, right there in their astronomy and astrology charts, and had told them, the world changer has come. And they got busy getting ready to worship. So here's a review of the facts that we know. Some non-Jewish, very well-educated individuals went through a lot of personal and political trouble to bring their gifts, their worship, to Jesus. On a global level, that signifies Jesus is for everyone, regardless of ethnicity or gender or social standing. Closer to home, we see the wise men bringing their gifts to little Jesus, and it creates the chance to ask ourselves, what gift do I have for the King of Kings? What gift can I bring Jesus? After all, He is the greatest gift, born into the world to help the helpless, to save us from eternal darkness, to bathe us in the life-giving light of His forgiveness. His birth, His perfect life, His suffering and death, His resurrection and ascension into heaven, all of it is pure gift. Jesus is God's gift to you and me. We would be spiraling downward to certain destruction if He were not given to us, but Jesus was given. God in flesh and blood came to rescue you and me. And Jesus continues to be given. That same flesh and blood is offered in His church through wine and bread for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus continues to be given when His words invite you to turn away from sin and to believe in Him. Jesus continues to be given as His body, all gathered believers serve the world in His name. There's no other gift like this. The gift of Jesus cannot be exhausted. You never run out of Christ or His mercy. So as I kneel and you kneel alongside the Magi on this day of Epiphany, I ask you again, what gift will you bring to Jesus? True story. I once asked a group of 4- and 5-year-olds in a preschool chapel that same question. What gift will you bring to Jesus? And do you know what one little girl said? She immediately answered with no coaxing at all. My heart. Is there a better answer to that question? My heart is the gift I will bring. After all, what else would Jesus want? He wants your heart, which means He desires your love. Will you give him that gift? Epiphany means something new has been realized. A new way of relating to God. A way that is governed not by fear, not by duty, not by obligation. It is instead the way of love. Love for Jesus as you respond to who He is, what He has done, what He continues to do for you each day. This is the love we're all looking for. A love that will finally fill you. A love that will order your life. A love that will make you truly free. Thank you, Magi, for blazing the trail. Come, let us adore Jesus, the servant king. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, send us your Holy Spirit so that today we can worship your Son, Jesus Christ, worshiping him as King, meaning that we place him on the throne of our lives and let him rule. Meaning that we worship him as our Savior, which means that we love and adore him, for he has given all to us, that we may have all that he has. Help us in this new year, Father, to live in that love towards you, and let that love spill out of us into the lives of others. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.